You have your sheets. Gemara and Yuma. I just want to learn this Gemara together for a second, and then I want to try to analyze the major point of Mechila. We're talking about the obligation. Three things we're talking about, really. One thing we're talking about is the obligation for a person to be careful not to offend another human being. And in the words of Shulchan Aruch, "Afilu lahiknita yela b'dvarim." That sometimes you think that hurt has to hurt. You have to see blood, or you have to see money coming out, or something. But no, words can be more painful than knives. Words can be very painful, and it can be more difficult to heal, because if you steal somebody's money, which is not a good idea, so you can give back the money theoretically. If you cause somebody physical damage, you burn down their house, you can build them a new house. Even if you hurt somebody's body, you can somehow heal the body. Body's healed. But if you insult somebody, very complicated to get it back. So the first thing that we see in Shulchan Aruch is, and it's extremely important for the Aseres Yemei Tshuva, the pre-Yom Kippur preparation, is that you have to be extremely careful with what you say. And as I pointed out yesterday, even with the expressions on your face, you can cause pain to another person. And there is no heter that I can find. I looked around, and I couldn't find any heter for saying, well, this is not my problem, it's just that you're too sensitive. You know, it's not a... That would be a good heter. I'm acting normally. You're the one who's got a problem. Right? That would be like a nice heter. You know, so we could say, look, I could say whatever I want. I'm acting normal. And, you know, you're too sensitive. You know, so I don't have an obligation to go and fix it. So I don't know. I can't find that heter in Shulchan Aruch. I can't find it. So it seems to be that even if the other person's too sensitive, then you have to deal with that person's sensitivity. In other words, there's a heavy obligation. Part of the obligation that a person has is to understand the sensitivities of the other person. Person's a person. So every one of us has our things that we're more sensitive about, things that we're less sensitive about, things that happened in our childhood, who knows what. So, you know, we're obligated apparently to be like psychotherapists and to be able to figure out exactly what makes this other person hurt. And let's give a quick example of this, but let's say somebody has, God forbid, an illness where if you, you know, somebody's hemophiliac or something, so you just touch them and they bruise, you know. So, you know, you go and you shake their hand. Hey, how are you? You know, so, okay, you know, like, I'm just acting normal. I'm a warm, you know, teddy bear kind of guy. That's the way I shake people's hands. You know, it happens to be in your case, I just broke all your fingers. So do I have a halachic obligation to be concerned about this or not? So if this is a clear sman Shulchan Aruch Vayishev Mishpat, that if somebody has a particular condition, clear in Shulchan Aruch. First, if somebody has a particular physical condition, I have to have a higher level of awareness in terms of my damage control that I do.
Assuming you know that.
If I know. Yeah. I don't know. So it's like everything else. If I don't know something is pig, I don't know it's pig. I mean, so then, you know, that's a different level of an avera. But if you know, the reason I'm stressing this is because I find by personal experience that there's a tendency to say, you know, to think, you know, you've got to grow out of that problem. I'm not going to change my behavior. This is something you have to learn how to grow out of. And people like go out of their way to insult other people, to point out that they're sensitive. You know, and so the first point is that, but it was a pretty scary thing. You know, like. Just happened to me yesterday. Somebody told me that doesn't know what to do. You know, we're talking about this. There's a certain person, nice person. Every time they see them, hi, how are you? Every time that other person sees them, they always have some kind of a dig. What's going on in this person's mind that he's always got to dig this person or every person? I don't know. It's particularly this person. You know, every single time, like, you know, hi, how are you? How's your kids? Dig. Some kind of a dig, you know, as if you care. Some kind of a thing. So the person sounds like it's like a, he doesn't know what it is, you know, but the fact of the matter is that the digger has a serious obligation on Erev Yom Kippur you know, to take care of this problem just in general and with this other person.
What's the problem?
I don't know what the problem is.
In
other words, they have some kind of insult that they come. It's like the personality that just always comes out with an insult. I don't know. Maybe they need to get the upper hand in the conversation, or they think it's funny. I don't know. You know.
Sometimes it's just a case where it just hurt for no real reason. It's sometimes cool to be kind and make a conscious decision to be tough up sometimes.
Yeah, or I would guess that it's probably like someplace between those two things. That if the person would sit down and think about it, the insulter, the digger. He would find that there is some kind of, there's something about the other person that bothers me, and I'm trying to give them musar. And instead of figuring out, like, you know, how to sit down and have a normal conversation with this human being, or how to figure out how not to be judgmental altogether and leave the other person alone, it's not your job to fix everybody in the world. So what they're doing is they're shooting out these little darts, you know, which is not the way. This is not the way of the Torah. There's a din of hocheach tochiach. You know, yeah, there's a din sometimes that you have to help a person come to a reality. So, you know, I know myself. I'm only saying this because it's Erev Yom Kippur. You know, I don't give a lot of musar, but I'm just saying myself that a lot of times when I find myself like being a little bit sharp to somebody on a regular basis, there's some kind of a message I want to give the person, but this is not the way to do it. Or sometimes we think, like, if you're laughing a lot while you do it, and, you know, you turn it into a joke, you know, hey, so that makes it okay. It doesn't make it okay either. Just as bad, maybe worse, you know. You some glad you think it's funny, you know. So, you know, most people are very, very sensitive. Most good people are sensitive. You know, if a husband and wife would come for counseling and say, you know, my wife is too sensitive, you know, would you prefer insensitive? what's the choice? Sensitive is a good thing. Like, it's not a bad thing, except that it has its difficulties because a person sensitive is Ragish, you know, person. Human beings with neshamas, if you haven't become a hardened criminal, are tend to be sensitive. That's a good thing. So we gotta be careful with that. Okay, that's just point one. I don't want to. Point two is that halachically, if we have caused any type of damage, emotional damage, certainly physical damage, there's an obligation to fix it, and we can't do, as I explained yesterday at length, you can't even begin to do tshuva. And on Lamakom, we said that it's like a mikveh. You just, like, you can't go to a mikveh and leave your hand outside. You can't even do tshuva for you know, spiritual things, for davening things, kosher things, you know. You can't even do tshuva for those things. You can't stand in front of Hashem unless you've taken care of these issues first. So all of these issues have to be straightened out before we try to do tshuva and get a kapara from Hashem, even if it's a different department altogether. Right? Different department altogether.
The whole purpose of the mikvah of this person is to purify. So saying we're supposed to be pure before entering Kippur, it wasn't seem to be implied by this mikvah.
You have to go into the mikvah. No.
We're supposed to be pure before we purify.
Not pure, but you have to get the first before you get. You have to get the first half of your body into the mikvah first. And then when you do the menon lamakom, you get the second part of your body and you have a total immersion. That's the analogy. So it's not like you have to be a complete totaling, a complete immersion before you come to Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur is the second half of the immersion, but if your feet are still hanging out of the water, so you didn't do anything. So that's why it's so extremely important to ask mechila, more importantly, to reinstitute the relationship, to reenact the relationship, to get things where they were. The important is not a relationship. I don't know that God needs us to have relationships, you know. Not everybody have to have a relationship with, but you can't hurt people. That's the point. It's not, you know, you don't have to be friends with everybody. There's no such din that you have to be friends with everybody. People have people that they like, and people that they you know, it's not for them. People that are much, just like you don't have to marry everybody. You don't have to be friends with everybody, but you can't hurt anybody. You can't hurt anybody. You know, that's the point. Okay, where's the sit in? And davening, yeah. So what is chaverim? Chaverim, a chaver is lashon mechubar, yeah. There's a fact that there is an attachment between each and every Jew. Okay, but not a friend in the vernacular. That's what I'm saying. It doesn't have to be, you know. It's like you know, what's a machberes? Anybody know what a machberes is? Huh? A notebook. A notebook. What's the root of the word? Chaver. Chaver. Right. There's a binding here. Yeah, the difference between a bunch of loose pieces of paper and a notebook is the binding. The binding is what makes it called a machberes. The binding has to exist between each and every Jew. To the point that that we don't hurt. We don't hurt another person. And the third, most difficult part of this is that we have to be in the mode of granting forgiveness. This is not just to facilitate the other person asking forgiveness, but in order for a restoration of a relationship, or in order to fix a hurt, it takes two sides. The fact is, it takes two sides. And it becomes the obligation. Tomer Dvar talks about this at length. The length means he spends about four lines on this on this point. Tomer Dvar, he says that the truth is, if somebody, this turns the whole life upside down, what I'm about to say right now. If somebody's hurt me, so now I'm holding the keys to this person's tshuva.
That's that pretty. Person let them know that they were hurt by them?
Okay.
No, they're not. It's
yeah, you're stuck. Yeah.
You're stuck.
But the point is, I'm holding the keys now. In other words, it's up to me to pardon you, to fix. Tomer Dvar says, it's up to me, even more than it's up to you, to fix the relationship.
Wow.
Why? Because you're coming and asking me mechila, right? If you're not coming and asking me mechila, okay. But if you're coming and you're asking me mechila, so that means you want to get back in. So who's the only one here who can create the restoration of the relationship? Who is it?
The person that was hurt.
Like, upside down. It's almost upside down. Like, but this is the way it is. You see, because the whole idea of...
Isn't that person obligated to be more chelik than the other party?
More what?
Isn't the person who was hurt obligated to be more chelik than the other party is true success?
Okay, but more than mochel, lehit payes, it says in Shulchan Aruch, lehis ratzos, lehis payes, this idea of I'm comforted. The person, in other words, it's not the point that you have an obligation to comfort me. You have an obligation to appease me. You have an obligation to... I also have an obligation to grant that forgiveness. This is very, very delicate material here, gentlemen, because sometimes there are people that are very, very difficult to forgive, and sometimes there are people that are impossible to forgive. I myself was involved. I'm just to take an extreme. I myself was involved in a situation where in Muncie, New York, where a kid was driving drunk, a Jewish kid, was driving drunk and killed somebody else's kid, and came to ask mechila.
Whoa.
Okay. So we're talking heavy, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh my.
So what's the expectation here? There was nothing. The kid, let's say, obviously regretted not only, taking a life, but obviously regretted the stupidity of the recklessness of driving drunk, of drinking altogether. The kid made a net, he's never going to drink again, and blah, 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 and da, da, da. But still, who's holding the keys is the person. Now, God can't expect, I don't think that Hashem can expect somebody to say, okay, ma'achalach, ma'achal me, it's not going to be so simple. However, I think that the person who's sincerely asking for forgiveness launches a process and a project which can take 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, and maybe you'll get to some of it. I don't think that this is a, Michael. It's an extreme example. But on a lesser level, there are things that take, people get very hurt, and there are processes that need to begin. So what we need to do is at least have these processes. I mean, the best thing to do is to be able to say, "Oh, it's Minas Shemayim," But who could be on that kind of a level? But allow the processes to begin. Now, let me.
What if the person doesn't know that he hurts you?
Yeah, well, that's what he's saying. That there's an obligation. Well, that's exactly what I'm going to speak about now. Let's not talk in the air. Let's talk very clear. I want to give you a. I want to ask here, pose a lumdish question. because I said something yesterday, and I'm not sure if I was right. I want to put this in a different. There's a couple of possibilities here. Give me your full mind for this. There's an obligation for someone who hurt another person to ask forgiveness. So what's the nature of that obligation? So there's a couple of possibilities here. One way to understand it is that, and this is what I said yesterday or the day before, that just like if I would steal some money from you, so your money is by me. Okay. I have obligation to, I created a hole in your budget and your income, and now I have to return it. By the way, stealing money can be not just like I came into your house and I stole money. It could be like I created some unfair competition, which is against halacha. It could be that I said something to somebody. I said, oh, don't buy from this person because, you know, they're not really going to give you the service. And it was connected halacha. So all of these cases are cases where I have an obligation for restitution. I have an obligation to fill the hole that I have dug, right? So it could be that just like if I would take your money, I have to give you back money to be mashlim that which I took. So too, let's say I do something which is more ethereal than stealing money, you know, something more sophisticated, like I stole some of your honor. I humiliated you in public. You say one word of the wrong way, you know, you could really hurt somebody's marriage prospects and job prospects and all kinds of things. You know, you just one word the wrong way. Somebody asked me about a certain girl, so I said she has a big chang. So somebody said, why are you talking lashon hara about her? Well, if he has a chay, it means she must be heavy, or she must be like. Why are you saying she has a? You got to be so careful the way. Like, why are you saying she has a chay? You know, like, okay, because I'm not a meshugada yet. I just got here. I don't know yet all the lashonos. Okay, but you know, you got to be very careful. Got to be very careful about what you say. So, if you do this type of an ethereal sin of taking something from somebody, so how are you going to pay it back? If I stole money from you, so I give you the money, $100, to give you back $100. If I'm so obligated, I'll give you kefil, I'll give you double the money, I'll give you whatever the Torah tells me to do. How am I going to fix this? I ruined your shit of prospects. How am I going to fix this? Right. So how am I going to fix it? $500, $1,000? How do you fix it? How do you fix it? There's no fixing, right? How do you fix it? We'll just wait 15 years, everybody will forget. What about how do you fix this? So the answer is you can't. Probably you can't. If you can, you got to fix it. But probably you can't fix it. So what do you do? So we work with alumnus like this that just like if I owe you $100, you have the right to be mochel that $100. You can be mochel the slave. You can forgive the debt, right? So too, you can forgive the debt. I owe you something which I can't possibly pay back. So I'm appealing to your heart and to your conscience and to your good senses and to your sense of altruism, and I'm asking you, please forgive the debt that I owe you because there's simply no way that I can pay it. And that could be, that's possibility A. That's just possibility A as to what's the pshat in asking and therefore granting mechila. Granting mechila would be then a forgiving, it doesn't fix it, but it fixes it inside you, where you'll say, if you can say, I forgive the debt. What does it mean? I say I forgive the debt of $100. It means to say, okay, I'm agreeing to live without the $100, and I'm not going to hold this against you. That's what forgiving a debt means. If you don't forgive the debt really, then you didn't forgive the debt. So I'm willing to live with $100 less, and we'll be shalem our relationship. So now I'm willing to live with the fact that it's going to be harder for me to get married now, or harder for me to employ myself, make a living, and support my family. I'm willing to live with that, and I'm mochel the debt that you have to me, because I see there is no way you can pay it. Very, very serious chiyuv, but that's possibility one of the obligation of asking mechila and granting mechila. Everybody with me on that? Possibility one. What's another possibility? Can anybody think of another possibility? What do you think?
Maybe it really is that asking someone forgiveness is really some form of payment. even though he's not actually mm-hmm. the same thing, but it's sort of like they hurt you, and the apology somehow fixes the hurt in some way.
So, good. Very good. Very astute. I would have said it a little bit different. I'm not sure if it's better or not. I got to think about it. I would have said that the issue is me asking mechila is a form of tshuva. That's pretty much what you mean, right? It's a form of tshuva. And just like if I have sinned against Hashem, I have to say, I have sinned with such and such a sin, right? I have to speak out my sin in front of Hashem. So too, if I've sinned against man, I have to say a form of vidui, an alchet, to that person. So the way to say vidui is I come to this person and I say, look, I know I hurt you, and I feel terrible about it, and please forgive me. And very similar to what we would say if we're speaking to Hashem, Ana Hashem chatasi lefanecha, please Hashem, I know I have sinned in front of you. I'm not trying with in the case of God, I'm not necessarily trying to fix. I can't always fix what I've, you know, what I've done. Like, what are you going to do? You ate tray. So I can't necessarily fix it. But what I can do is I can ask you for forgiveness. I can do tshuva. So it could be that my asking of mechila is a form of, let's call it vidui, and I'm standing in front of the other person in this case, not in front of HaKadosh Baruch, not lifnei Hashem titaru, but lifnei this person that I hurt, titaru, and by me asking forgiveness and then by him granting forgiveness, I've accomplished something in the world of tshuva. So you understand here two possibilities? Two very different possibilities. One possibility is I'm coming to pay back. Another possibility is I'm coming to do tshuva. Yeah.
What is actually granting forgiveness? Does that mean getting the hurt out of your heart? Does that mean actually, because for instance, there are sometimes when the hurt is still there, but you will go out of your way to be friendly with the guy, and you will go and you say, I forgive you, and you will lend him whatever you want, you won't hold a grudge, you won't. But you still have a hurt anyway.
Still in there.
Is that the fact that you're forgiving him, is that still a forgiveness? Or the fact you have something in your heart, is that
right. So that's a good question. I don't know the answer, but I do know this. I do know this, that exactly to the degree that you're able to forgive, it's a matter of degree, it's exactly to that degree that Hashem will forgive us for our avers. So exactly what we want God to do, that's what we have to try to do with this person. But as I said before, it's not always possible. It's certainly not possible if an ord. You know, like, if I've really hurt somebody and I say, are you mochel me? And they say, yes, I'm totally unsatisfied. Are you taking my question seriously or not? This is at least think about it for a minute. You know. So let me just tell you my nafkamina. What's the difference whether the pshat and mechila is that it's a form of me? I can't pay back, so you're mochel v'chov, or is it that I'm doing tshuva? The difference is there's a couple of differences, but here's one interesting nafkamina. Can you be mochel me if I didn't ask you mechila? It's right to your question, right? Let's say, right, somebody hurt you. So it's easier for you to work this out in your mind or with your friend or with your Rebbe or with somebody. It's easier for you than actually approaching the other person and going through this with that person. And you can come to a place where, on all levels, you're mochel the person. So the person doesn't even know the whole question, right? This guy's sleeping through the whole thing. Doesn't know he hurt you. He didn't know you had a chiyuv mechila. He didn't know that you were meichel him. Just knows that the next day everything's fine. So he figures everything's fine. Everything's cool. So is that work or not? If the pshat is that you owe me something, and I'm mochel v'chov, you know the famous story with the Chafetz Chaim, that somebody stole something from the Chafetz Chaim and he ran after him through the street saying, I'm boyfully, you know. Famous story with the Chafetz Chaim. So, what is that? Why did he have to run after him in the street? I always wondered about this. Why did he sit in the store and say, I'm boyfully? Did he have to run after him in the street?
You got to hear it?
I don't know. Maybe. Maybe. Why did the other person, like, can the offender be totally passive in this process or oblivious to the entire process? Well, it depends. If the point is that you owe me something and now I've got to make it, I've got to be mokel the chov, so you don't owe it to me anymore, right? So then, what do you need to know? I'm mokel and that's it. If the pshat is that you have to do tshuva, and that's why you're asking mechila, you have to do tshuva, so then what does it help that I'm being mokel you while you're sleeping, while you're oblivious to this whole situation? You have to do tshuva. So it depends what the mechila is. Everybody with me on this?
But by saying it, am I encouraging the person here with the tshuva?
Maybe.
The gesture.
The question is tshuva part of this issue? Or the issue is, you owe me something, I'm forgiving the debt. That's the question. Is tshuva, maybe tshuva, look, you stand in front of Hashem, and you're going to say, all of us are going to say, in a couple of days, we're all going to stand in front of Hashem, we're going to say, Ashabdu, Bagadnu, Gazalnu. Those are Bein Olam L'Chaveros. Those are all man-to-man issues. So what are we doing tshuva on man-to-man issues? In other words, there's an assumption that we've straightened it out with the people. Now I've just got to straighten this out with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. My tshuva could be, is only in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But what, do I have to do tshuva in front of a person? Do I have to humiliate myself so much and have to do tshuva in front of the person? Or do I just have to make good? So that's like a nafka mila in how you learn the lumdus of mechila. Not if he doesn't know about it. You haven't improved the other person's character at all. He's still going to continue to. What do you say?
I'm not sure if we can pull that word afterwards, but the possibility is maybe when the person forgives, that's like the when Hashem grants the chila, it's like he like withhold the punishment. But after that, so fine. Maybe others won't be punished for it. Not you giving the forgiveness. At least not by you, for sure.
But
in order for him to actually do a tikkun, he has to maybe ask.
So what you want to say is, same thing I want to say, is that there seems to be two dinim in Mechila. There's two parts. There's two things that have to be accomplished. Let me just throw out a couple of quick examples because this clock goes so fast. I felt
the other way around.
Yeah. What's the other way around? I go so slow?
Yeah, and then I forget.
Oh.
Maybe he's granting us a little much time for that.
Right.
And then the actual forgiving is the problem.
So the Gemara says like this. The Gemara says that Rav Nachunya ben Akana, great Tana, Nachunya ben Akana, Bameh Harach to Yomim, the Gemara says, how did you get to live so long? How did you live so long? They asked, the students asked Rav Nachunya ben Akana. I think they asked him this. I figured out once he was 109. And they asked him,
wow,
how did you, and they were still able to talk to him. So how did you get to live so long? So he said, that he never went to sleep with some kind of a taina, a complaint. Loilam loy elsal mishkavi kilas chaveri. I never went to sleep with some type of a complaint about another person. In other words, before I went to sleep at night, it's like if you say the kriya shma l'amita. You say before you go to sleep, there's the Lashon of Bar Zutra. Reini moichel l'chol mi shehichis oisi, or shehichnik oisi. So, I mean, the pshat is that not that he doesn't mean he lived long because he got good night's sleep because he didn't stay up all night, worrying about the fact that somebody hurt him. But it means to say that he had a spiritual schus, that he was moichel each person that hurt him, before he never let the day end without being mochel the other person. Okay, so the question is, does that mechila have any effect at all? Al pi halacha. Does the mechila have any effect? So somebody didn't even know that they heard from Mechunya ben Akana, and he goes to sleep, and he's mochel him. Just give you the lashon here. It's on page 11a. If you want to show the talmidavus Reb Nachunya ben Akana, Megillah Chaf Ches Amud Aleph. Bamaharafta Yamim. The Talmidim asked him, Nechunya ben Akana, how old are you? How did you get to be so old? Amr Lahem, so he said to him a couple things. Miyamai Lainis Kabadati Beklein Chaveri. I never took honor at the expense of somebody else. That's a good one. Like, you know, if you want covet, so try to get some covet, but not by taking it away from somebody else. Le'osal mitasi kilulas chaveri. And I never, osal mitasi, I never went to sleep with some kind of a complaint against somebody else. Vatrim b'mamayni ha'isi. And that was always easy with money. So the Gemara says, go down to the bottom of the thing. It's like Marzutra said, whenever you go to sleep, you should say, everybody who has given me tsar. Tremendous practice of the tzaddikim of for generations and generations. Before you go to sleep, you say, I forgive anyone who aggravated me. So what's the nature of that forgiveness? Is it just to help him sleep better, or does it actually halakhically accomplish the fact that whoever hurt him gets a mechila? So if the pshat is that the mechila is that I have to forgive a debt, everybody who insulted Rav Nechunya ben Akana today or Bar Zutra has a debt to pay to Rav Nechunya ben Akana, so okay, I forgive the debt. If the pshat is you hurt the Rebbe, you hurt Rav Nechunya ben Akana, and now you have to do tshuva before me for hurting me. So, what does it help that before I go to sleep? That's very nice. What does it help that before I go to sleep, I'm mostly. If you just, if we do just one more Gemara quickly, the Gemara Yuma that's in front of you here, on 3a. Let's learn this Gemara quickly. Rav havet pasuk sidra kamei derebi. So Rav, the town of Rav and Shmuel, was a Talmud of Rebbe, Rabbi Yehuda Nasi, a young Talmud. So he was called Rab Tanahu Polik, right? So he was the first, the generational switch, the paradigm shift took place on Rav. Rav was part of one generation, part of the other generation. So Rav used to say over, make sure he had all the teachings of the Tanoim very, very clear, and he used to say it over in front of Rebbe, and everybody used to listen. This was an amazing piece of history here, that Rav in the Beis Medrash had this job. That was the specialty of Rav. That's why he was called Rav. The specialty of Rav was for him to say over the teachings of all the Tanoim and give it over to the Talmidim. So it was a very big thing. And Rebbe was still alive. Rebbe Yehuda Nasi, who wrote the Mishnah, who was the biggest expert in the world on Tanaic sayings and halachas, he was still alive, and he would examine whether Rav was saying good or not. So the Gemara tells one of the times that Rav have a pasuk sidra kamei de Rebbe. Ayel asa, he's in the middle of talking. Ayel asa Reb Chiya. Reb Chiya walks in, contemporary of Rav, a little bit late. So Rav says, okay, what's going to be with the Masorah here? What's going to be, like Reb Chiya is not going to have the whole story. It's a crime to come in late because, you know, somebody who prepares a shir, there's a beginning, there's a middle, there's an end, there's symmetry here. You can't just come late. Okay, I'll catch what I catch. So he sees Reb Chiya comes late. So he says, Hadr L'Reish, starts from the beginning again at the expense of everybody else who's sitting there. He gets a few minutes into it. Ayo Bar Kapara. Bar Kapara comes in.
Bar Kapara.
Actually, this is an old Jewish thing. Bar Kapara comes in a little bit late. What's going to be with Bar Kapara? He has his whole yeshiva. Hadri L'Reish starts from the beginning again. Oh my gosh. Also, Reb Shimon Barabbi. He gets into the shir. He's 15, 20 minutes into the shir. Reb Yehuda Nasi's son, Reb Shimon, comes into the shir. Rebbe's son. He's missing part of it. Hadr L'Reisha. Third time, starts from the beginning. Okay, gets well into the shir. Asar Reb Chanina Bar Chama. Reb Chanina Bar Chama comes in. So Rav looks at Reb Chanina Bar Chama, and he looks at the faces of everybody in the shir, and he says, Kula hai na'adr v'nezel. I just can't do it again. I just can't say it again. I can't go through this thing again. Not going to go. Loy hadr. Doesn't go back. Ikbid Rabbi Chanina. Everybody, you go back. Me, you don't go back. Now, Rabbi Chanina has some kind of a complaint. He came late. Rav already went through this three times. You want to go a fourth time? Good. You went through it four Rav Chiya. You went through it for Bar Kapar. You went through it. Okay, Rav Yehuda Stasi, son of Rav Yehuda Stasi. But Rav Chanina Bar Chava, you don't go back again? Ikbid Rabbi Chanina. So Rav Chanina was Makbid. Okay, it's Makbid. Also Rav Lagabe. So Rav approached him. Placer Male Yoyme de Kippuri on 13 consecutive Erev Yom Kippurs. 13 years! Every single Erev Yom Kippur, he went to ask him Mechila. Lo Yifayis, he said, no. Not going to be Ma'ezel
for
you.
For coming late or for not repeating?
For not repeating. You embarrassed me. I came to the Shir, I'm not important enough. You didn't go back over it. 13 years.
Oh my.
So Machlok is the Russian Tosfos, whether on the 13th year he forgave him or he just gave up. Or, you know, simple shot is that in the 13th year the Rush says he forgave him. Why 13? I don't know. Maybe every year he had to go through one of the Hashem's character traits. You know, where are we holding now? Rachel. You're getting there. 13 years he comes and he asks of Mechila. 13 years Lo Yifayis. So now the Gemara asks a kasha. Heicha Avid Hachi. How could such a thing happen? Heicha Avid Hachi. Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yosi Bar Chanina, Rabbi Yosi Bar Chanina says, "Kol Amavakish Matu Mechavera Yavakish Mena Yosi Mishalosh." Why did he come to him 13 times Erev Yom Kippur? Not 13 times, 13 days. 13 Erev Yom Kippurs. Why did he do that? The halacha is that you only have to come 3 times. That's the din. The din is that you have to ask somebody Mechila 3 times, and after the 3rd time, it's your problem, not my problem. So the Gemara says, "Rav Shaini." Now, Rav was different. So, why was Rav different? So the Rishonim learned that this Rav Shaini, the word Rav here, doesn't mean Rav as his name Rav and Shmuel, but a Rav is different. Mm-hmm. In other words, Rav, who we call Rav, was a student of Rabbi Chanina. And being that he was a student of Rabbi Chanina, was Talmud Chav. So being that he was a student of Rabbi Chanina, has a different halacha. That halacha of only going 3 times doesn't apply to your Rebbe. It says in Shulchan Aruch, afilu elef pamim, even 1,000 times you have to go to your Rebbe to ask Mechila. So okay, so that explains Rav Shaini. A Rav is different. Okay? Not Rav Shaini, but a Rav is different. Right? The Gemara, okay, that explains why he went to ask him 13 times. But Rabbi Chanina hecha avilei. How did Rabbi Chanina do this? How do we understand Rabbi Chanina? What do you mean, no, you're not Michael? Why aren't you forgiving him? Why not?
Mm-hmm.
But Rava, didn't Rava say, Kol ha-mavir al-midoysev mavirin lo-yal-kol kushav? Where was Rabbi, what was Rabbi Chanina thinking here? Doesn't he know that if he's Michael, if you go, what does it mean to be mavir al-midoysev? Kol ha-mavir al-midoysev, what does it mean? Mavir al midosav means that I'm just about to, my midos, my nature is that I'm just about to lose my temper right now. I'm like really upset. I'm going to lose my temper. You've really taken me to the edge. And the anger came all the way from my stomach, moved through my heart, up through my brain, coming right down through my nose and my mouth. And here it is on the tip of my tongue and squashed. Mavir al midosav. If I could squash it at that second, so Mavir and Layal Kol Pshav, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to be mindful of all your Averis. It's a great thing. A person can go against their nature for one, that, you know, really go against your nature. Hold yourself in. So Mavir and Layal Kol Pshav. So Rav comes to Rav Chanina and he says, Rabbi, be mindful of me. No. What? Why? Didn't he want to have Kaparis HaVoynos? Didn't he want to have all of his sins forgiven? So the answer is, says the Gemara, Ella. The pshat is, to make a long story short, it's a whole complicated dream here, but what it means is that Reb Chanina understood that Rav needs a tikkun. And Reb Chanina was a Rebbe of Rav, and he wanted to teach him something. And being that he wanted to teach him something, so the words of the Mishnah Brura, im hu l'toivas ha-mevakesh, if it's for the good of the person, not everyone can do this, just the Rebbe, but if it's for the good of the person, the education of the person, to learn that, you know what, you were insensitive to my needs. This was, I mean, These were, you know, you talk about Musar Chabur as a Tekla. I said, it's a type of Gibar. The type of Gibar, you're insensitive to my needs that I walked in and you didn't repeat the shir for me. I need to teach you something. And if I feel, Rabbi Hanina said, that it's going to take me 13 years to get this message across to you. For 13 years, on Erev Yom Kippur, I want you to struggle with this. 13 years that you were insensitive to your Rebbe, to somebody who's taught you things. You were insensitive. Okay, so there's so many things to learn from this Gemara. Like, first of all, how sensitive you have to be. Second of all, like you'd think, Rav Chanina Bar Chama would be above this, right? We want ourselves to be above this. Rav Chanina Bar Chama wasn't above this. A human being is a human being, and it's sensitive. You would think that Rav was above it. You would think that Mechila takes a minute. You would think so many things that this Gemara tells us that it's not that way. But the one message that I want to point out over here is that if Rav Chanina wants to do something for Rav, Lutubas HaMevakesh, for the good of the person who's asking Mechila, so you got a simple thing, be Meichel. Isn't that the best thing that he can do for him? If somebody owes me money, and I'm Meichel, and I don't have it to pay, if I forgive the debt, that's the best thing I could do for them. So Lutubas HaMevakesh, the best thing I should do is to be Meichel. So the answer is no. It's not the best thing. Apparently, according to this Gemara, the best thing is not that I'm Michael, you like Rav Nechunya ben Akana was Michael before he went to sleep at 2 o'clock in the morning. He was Michael, everybody went into the Mechila program. No, the best thing is that I caused some kind of a correction in your behavior. You have to do tshuva. If I'm just Michael, you, are you going to be doing tshuva or not? So here you see that in this Chakira here, in this question as to what is the lumbus of Mechila, not so simple that the lumbus is that I'm just forgiving a debt. Part of it is that I have to cause you to do some type of tshuva before me, like vidui. And that vidui, Rav Chanina, the Rebbe said, is going to take 13 years to do this kind of vidui. That's what has to happen. So you can see here, two sides, I'm just giving you two examples, two sides of the coin. You have the side of the coin of Rav Nechunya ben Akana, and you have the flip side of Rav Chanina bar Chava, each one bringing out a different lumdus in the idea of Mechila. So, what's today? Wednesday? So, Birtz Hashem, tomorrow night, what I want to do is the last year before Yom Kippur, is I want to be able to put it all together so we can understand clearly what it is that we have to do and the obligation to do, and what it is that we could accomplish with it. I think now we have enough background, so then Birtz Hashem, tomorrow night, we'll have a clear halachic picture of the union of Mechila.
Yeah. 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 Yeah.